It was a real kind of homecoming for me. It was great to work with her.
Can you talk about some of the changes you've seen in the years? I mean, you've been involved in music and, you know, as a working at the CBC, then, you know, as a producer, it seems to me like the pace of change has sped up so much as technology is infused into everything.
Absolutely. Well, you know, back in the day, we used to make, we used to use this stuff called tape. And a big reel of 2-inch tape held 15 minutes of music, and you were limited to 16 or 24 tracks, and that was it. Nowadays, it's all on your computer, and you can have a million tracks if you want. So that has all changed hugely. Back in those early days, you had to have a lot of money to make an album because studios were expensive. Nowadays, all you need is a computer and a microphone, and you can make an album. You know, so it's really, really changed. Also, back in the early days, most albums were done with major labels who had the big bucks, and they could finance, so you'd have to get signed by a label and all that. But as the technology became more accessible, people moved more to producing their own music on their own labels. And the independent labels really started to come to the fore during the 70s and 80s. So that's changed the landscape hugely. And now the big labels are all but history.
Do you find that changes people's expectations when they, you know, decide that they want to come in the studio with you? The fact that, I mean, like, do they come more prepared perhaps than they were before? You know, maybe they have some demos they've been working on themselves before they join you?
In some cases, that's true, yes. In some cases, no. Some cases, even as simple as the technology is becoming, they still are not involved in that and want to come to someone who actually knows how to do it. So it depends on the artist, you know. I always, when I'm working with artists, I always go through a pretty extensive pre-production process. We sit down before we go into the studio and we talk about what songs we're going to record, what kind of arrangements, what kind of instrumentation. Sometimes when we go through the songs, I might have a suggestion about, you know, it might sound good for the song to have a bridge, or that melody is great, but it would be nice if you did a little twist there. So sometimes I've actually even gone to the extent of being a co-writer on some songs with artists. I tried that with Ron Hines, by the way, and he says, no, these songs are finished. Yes, sir, Ron.
And then obviously the fact that you are a very talented musician in your own right, you probably end up playing on a lot of the people that that come in as well.
Yeah, most of the albums I've produced, I end up playing something on them.
Yeah.
And most of the albums I've produced, I try to get some ukulele in on at least one track.
I was wondering, just to make sure that you were seeing how much attention they were actually paying. I would imagine if it's your own music, you're going to pay lots of attention. Have the length of sessions changed with the way that the technology's come in? Are people spending less time with you in a studio compared to what they would have done in the, I was going to say, the olden days?
No, in my experience, it's about the same. We spend as much time as we need to spend to make sure it's as good as it can be. And the technology really has no bearing on that.
How often would you record live off the floor versus, you know, spending time to build up a track?
Well, my particular method of working is largely building tracks. I've live off the floor, I would use that if it was necessary, like if there's a lot of tempo change and a lot of fluidity to the song and the performance, then that would be live off the floor. But if there's a good strict tempo and so on, as I said earlier in the show, I like to spend time making sure the vocals are as good as they can be. So doing vocals in an overdub situation works well, at least for me, and for most of the artists that I've worked with.
We're almost getting up to date with some of the music we're playing today. Mm-hmm. The next track we're going to play is Out of This World, I think, because it's going to be Chris Hadfield and the Bare Naked Ladies together on a track that's entitled ISS, which could mean the International Space Station, but actually is the full title would be Is Somebody Singing? Tell us about this track.
Well, working with Chris, I'll tell you the story. I did an album with his brother about 4 years before
Dave,
this.
Dave Hadfield.
Dave Hadfield. And Chris actually came in and sang some vocals on that album, so we got to know each other a little bit. And he was a huge Tanglefoot fan, a group that I was producing at the time. So he came out to one of a live recording that I was doing with Tanglefoot. So Chris and I got to know each other. And then a couple of years later, I got a call from Joey Taylor, who was somebody that I knew at the CBC. And Joey had made this guitar. He had it made by a builder out in Nova Scotia, which is built from pieces of wood from all over Canada. There's even a piece of the canoe paddle that Pierre Trudeau used in that famous picture of him paddling the canoe. There's a piece off Bobby Orr's Stanley Cup ring in there in the inlet. Anyway, Joey asked me, he knew that I knew Chris, and we knew that Chris was going up to the space station later that year. He said, do you think I could get Chris to take the guitar up to the station with him? I said, well, I could ask. So I phoned Chris up and I said, well, what do you think? Could you take this guitar up? He says, I could take it up, but it would never come back because, you know, it's the last time that the shuttle is going up and that's the last time they'd have room for such a thing. So I told Joey the bad news. And anyway, in subsequent conversations, Chris and I got talking because I knew that he played guitar and sang. And he said, you know, there is a guitar up there already. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, there's a Larivee up in the International Space Station. I said, wow. So you actually go up there and you can play? And he says, oh, yeah, and we can record too because we got, you know, a little Mac computer and we can record. I said, so you could maybe even make an album while you're up there. He says, oh, yeah. He says, why don't we do that? So we agreed. And we did some work prior to his departure, picking some songs and doing the pre-production thing. And then he went up. And, we were in correspondence by email and all this. And he would record tracks and send them down to me. And along the way, I mentioned this project to a friend I knew at CBC who was head of music, Anne McKeegan. And I said, you know, would CBC be interested in getting involved in this project and perhaps getting Chris and someone to write a song together, which CBC would commission? She said, absolutely. So we ended up getting Chris and Ed Robertson from the Bare Naked Ladies together, and they co-wrote this song. This is before Chris left for the station. They worked up the song, and we ended up with CBC saying, this would be a perfect song for the Music Monday program, which was a group promoting music education in schools. So it was all set up. It would be the Music Monday song for 2013. So I had Ed Robertson recording the track in his home studio with just him and a click track. I sent it up to Chris on the space station. Chris recorded his vocal and guitar up there, sent me the tracks back down to Earth. And then I had the Bare Naked Ladies and a choir called the Wexford Gleeks in a CBC studio. And they recorded the song live straight to tape with Chris's pre-recorded tracks from space. And it ended up being made into a video. So that's the long story, but it was a lot of fun.
Now, I think as far as the album was concerned, you ended up not being able to finish that work.
No, right? Chris ended up signing with Warner Brothers, and they had a producer in mind, so I didn't finish the tracks with Chris. But
you were involved in this song.
This was the one song that got released. It was never released as a record. It was just released as a CBC video. But it was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. It was a bit of a logistical nightmare, but we got through it.
This is Chris Hadfield and the Bare Naked Ladies with his Somebody Singing. And you're listening to Folk Roots Radio with Paul Mills, and I'm Jan Hall.
Turn the key and light the fire. We're leaving Earth today. This rocket's burning bright. We'll soon be out of sight and orbiting in space. Push back in my seat. Look out my window. Is everybody, anybody ever knew? So sing your song, I'm listening. I'm fueled by science and solar power, the ocean's racing past. At half a thousand tons, 90 minutes moon to sun, a bullet can't go half this fast. Floating from my seat, look out my window, there goes home. That brilliant ball of blue is where I'm from and also where I'm going to. So sing your song, I'm listening. Out where stars are glistening, I can hear your voices bouncing off the moon. If you could see our nation from the International Space Station, you know why I wanna get back soon. All black and white just fades to gray. Where the sun rises 16 times a day. You can't make out borders from a in my seat, look out my window, here comes home. What once was fueled by fear now has 50 nations orbiting together here. So sing your song, I'm listening. Where stars are glistening, I can hear your voices bouncing off the moon. If you could see our nation from the International Space Station, you know why I wanna get back soon. You know why I wanna get back.
That's Chris Hadfield and the Bare Naked Ladies with ISS is Somebody Singing, a single from 2013 produced by our guest in the Folk Roots radio studio today, Paul Mills. And Paul, the next act, I think it's a very special act. We're going to talk about the Lucky Sisters.
Yes, indeed.
Only produced one album.
Mm-hmm.
Alison Lupton with Rosemary Phelan and Tana Slimmon. You had the privilege of producing the album Get Lucky. Tell us a little bit about this project.
Well, interesting how it evolved. There's a fellow from Boston whose name is Terry Egan, who puts on concerts to raise money to build healing gardens in hospitals. He puts on concerts a lot in Canada to raise this money. And he was in Kitchener one time, putting on a concert, and Tanis Slimmon, Rosemary Phelan, and Alison Lupton were all on the bill, and they got together and sang one song together, and Terry was smitten by the sound of these three gorgeous singers singing together. So I guess he went back home to Boston and started to think about it, and he called them up one time and said, would you guys be interested in making an album? And they said, sure. And he contacted me and he said, would you be interested in producing the album? And I said, sure. They had started to call themselves the Lucky Sisters. And when Terry asked me to produce, I wrote the three women an email saying, are you sure you want me to work with you? Because, I mean, it's important that the artist be in agreement with the producer choice. And they all said yes. So we got together and did this album. Now, the sad part of the story is that Rosemary at the time was terminally ill. She was still able to perform and all of that. But she didn't have much longer to be with us. So I remember the first pre-production meeting, we talked about doing her vocals as quickly as possible. She actually went into the studio with her husband, Jason LaPrade, and did her vocals, and told me later that if it had been a week later, she would not have been able to do it. Anyway, we got her vocals done. We added Tanis and Allison in my studio, and Tanis also has a studio at her place in Guelph, and she did her tracks there with her hubby, Lewis. And I put it all together in my studio, and we mixed it, and I'm happy to say that Rosemary was actually able to hold the album in her hand. She actually designed the cover graphics and everything, so she was actually able to hear the finished product before she passed. This song here is a very special song on the album. It was actually written by Laura Smith, who we just heard a few minutes ago, and Rosemary sings the song. The songs in this album were chosen with the knowledge of what was going to be happening. And so the songs are all about a celebration of life and love and valuing relationships and all of that kind of thing. And this song, every time I hear Rosemary sing this song, it just melts my heart.
She had a beautiful voice.
Indeed,
absolutely
she did.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if you were going to put three singers together for a project like this, you couldn't pick three better people than Alison Lupton, Rosemary Phelan, and Tanis Sliman.
Yeah.
I mean, not just because of the values that they bring into their lives, but gorgeous singers, and they harmonize
beautifully,
wonderfully.
Yeah. The Lucky Sisters.
This is The Lucky Sisters on Folk Roots Radio with the song Safe Home from their 2015 album Get Lucky. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio with Paul Mills in the studio, and I'm Jan Hall.
Confine you now, my spirit. no longer shining here. Though your joy is now a beacon for the weary, never more to shed a tear, never more to feel alone. You are loved, and you are loved, you're home. You are loved, and you are loved, you're home, home, home.
That's the Lucky Sisters with Safe Home from their fabulous 2015 album, So Lucky. It's the only album that they were able to produce because of the sad passing of Rosemary Phelan. But it's an absolutely gorgeous album. And I guess from your point of view, Paul Mills, our special guest in the studio, it must have been great to have had the privilege to be involved in that project.
It was a privilege. I was honored when Terry asked me to work with them, and I was honored when they agreed. Three incredibly talented women. And I should mention, by the way, that beautiful dobro solo on that last song was played by Rosemary's husband, Jason.
Yeah.
And, you can hear his heart.
Absolutely gorgeous. It's been absolutely fabulous to have you join us in the studio. I feel like we should do this again. We've got 200 albums, so what we think we've talked about 10 or 15 of them today. We can do it again at a later date. So... You decided unless you make another album yourself, maybe you won't be producing anymore?
Probably not. I mean, if something came along that really made me sit up and was an opportunity, I don't know, I might, you know, but probably not.
But Curly Boy Stubbs and Paul Mills will be getting out and playing more
both
music.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a Home Roots tour with Dave Bradstreet next fall. I've got a couple of things coming up this spring, which you'll hear about. And I enjoy performing a lot. I'm not quite the flashy guitar player I was back then. Got older fingers now, but I can still rip off a tune or two.
And of course, you're involved with Home County, which goes from strength to strength.
It's a great organization. We have a wonderful board of directors. We have an army of volunteers and coordinators that put this show on every summer that just makes my jaw drop at what these people can do. And it's a lot of fun. It's a privilege to be in their ranks, for sure. There'll be another great festival this summer.
No, that's great. So, if you've not been to Home County, you definitely need to head to London. It's a fabulous city, as we've mentioned. It's got a great music scene. And they have an absolutely fabulous festival every summer. We only have one thing left to do, and that's...
What's that?
Well, I was going to say to pick... Normally, I say it's to pick the next song that we're going to play. We've already decided what it's going to be, because it's going to be a Paul Mills song.
Yes, you have decided, haven't you?
Yeah. From the album The Other Side of the Glass, which came out in 2006. And I wanted to be very careful that I picked a song that you actually wrote.
Yes.
So not only do you play and you sing... Yeah. But you actually wrote this as well. We're going to finish with a twist. Tell us about this one.
Well, this came out of my son Trevor used to run a songwriters series at Hughes Room in Toronto. And what he did, it was a once a month gathering of songwriters. And what he did was issue a kind of a challenge every month. He would issue a subject for songs to be written to. And this one particular, he always came up with quirky ideas. It wasn't like write a love song or write a historical song. This particular month, the topic was with a twist. And so I immediately thought of martinis. So I wrote this song about this guy who's just an ordinary guy. He's nothing fancy about him. He just wears baseball caps and goes to the local neighborhood bar. But he has this one little piece of sophistication in his life. He enjoys drinking martinis with a twist. So that's the song.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you join us in the studio today.
Likewise. Thank you, Jay.
This is Paul Mills with a twist. Paul Mills with a twist from the album The Other Side of the Glass. You're listening to Folk Roots Radio.
And you're Jan Hall.
And I'm Jan Hall. Thanks again.
Thank you, Jan.
Friday night, Frankie's Bar, seedy side of town. That's me on the bar stool, baseball hat pulled down. My friends are drinking whiskey, but I think that's uncouth, 'cause I prefer a lemon peel, swimming in gin and vermouth. Now I tend to get laconic when I'm offered gin and tonic. Hold the tonic and vermouth, I must insist. 4-1 would be so nice, and stir it with some ice. I like my martinis with a twist. Now my life may lack pizzazz, style and all that jazz, but I don't care at all who bats an eye, 'cause fancy ain't my style, and I could raise a smile just by sipping back on something cool and dry. Now I'm the sort of fellow whose life is kind of mellow, not the kind who goes out on the town. There's not much that I'm in on high society or women, but you know, it ain't often I feel down. Now I might have better luck if I was more seductive, but I'm the sort that women just dismiss. Sometimes I can get grumpy and look a little frumpy, but I do like my martinis with a twist. Taxes, I could just relax. I enjoy a martini with some lime. Now my life may seem too plain, and I may not be urbane, but haute couture just isn't on my list. No, I just want love and passion, and I don't care if I'm in fashion, but I do like my martinis with a twist. So if you want to get to know me, there's just nothing that can throw me. But I do like my martinis with a twist. I insist, I like my martinis with a twist.
Ha huageshtig ri CGSF, nached poing aun FM, Kralevo Burnaby, British Columbia.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.